Well, good morning, fellowship. It's good to be with you this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and also Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be looking at several different verses this morning as we continue our series on making space, what it looks like to make space in our lives and to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. And as we kind of start this morning off and as we're together as the venues, the warehouse and chapel and worship center here this morning together, I just want to take a moment and pray for us as a church family. And I know that on Sundays like this, we come into a gathering together. And, you know, we've said this before, but most of the time when we're together on Sundays, it's a time of cheers and tears, right? Because our body is made up of a variety of people. And for some of you, you experienced some joyful things this week. Some successes, some things that happened that really just kind of caused your heart to really have great joy. And then for some of you, there are some things maybe that happened this week that were hurtful, disappointing, discouraging, brought some tears to your eyes because of the things that you're dealing with. And we recognize that as a church family, every time we gather, we know that both of those things are happening in our midst. And some of us are heavy-hearted, maybe even this morning. And some of us are very excited maybe this morning about some things that God is doing. And so I just want to take just a moment before we dive into God's word and just kind of pray for you this morning. So would you just kind of bow your heads with me this morning and let's just pray together. God, thank you so much for your love to us, that you have given us life and breath today. Your word says that it's in you that we live and move and have our very being. And so, God, this morning, we just want to thank you for your goodness to us. And there are some of us who really can shout that at the top of our lungs because we have seen your goodness all week long. We've experienced it afresh and anew. And there have been things that have happened in our life that have caused us to see your goodness more sharply. And so, God, we just want to take a moment and celebrate you and celebrate the things that you've done in our midst, even this week. And yet we also know there are people in our midst who have felt burdened this week. They have felt heavy-hearted. They have felt discouraged and disappointed. They have felt that life has kind of given them a blow that they weren't expecting. And so, God, this morning, would you breathe your life into them? Would you give them peace? And would you remind them that you are the sovereign God and that you are always with them and that nothing takes you by surprise? And God, that your love is deep enough, your grace is strong enough to carry us through anything that we encounter. And so, God, I just pray this morning that your people, whether your people would feel your love and your care and your protection, your grace and your kindness and your nearness this morning. So, Lord, we want you to have your way in us as a church. Have your way in us as people, as families. Lord, have your way in us and speak to our hearts this morning. It's in the strong name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we think about making space, we're talking this week about a hospitable people, like what it means to be that kind of person, right? So you see in your bulletin there, I entitled this message, "What Kind of Person Are You?" When you think about the kind of person that you are, maybe the kind of person that you want to be, and as we think about making space in our life, Ben did a wonderful job last week kind of setting up this series, letting you guys know that for the next few weeks as we talk about what it means to be a people who follow Jesus and who show hospitality to those who are around us, right? That becomes a part of who we are as believers, and that all has its foundation in a hospitable God. That's who God is, right? God has shown us hospitality, and he calls us to be a hospitable people. I was thinking about my grandparents. It was actually my dad's parents. When I was growing up, I used to love to visit their house. And they lived in this very, very simple, tiny house that I loved going there and playing. We would always play some board games with my grandma. And she made the sweetest tea on earth. And it was just a lot of fun to kind of be there. But what I always remember was they had this little chain link fence around their property, right? So just kind of, you can go with me. You can kind of see that in your mind. Like this chain link fence around the property. They had two dogs. When I was growing up, one was old and one was new. One was a young dog, but their old dog was a German Shepherd, and her name was Ginger. Okay, and she was kind of getting to that age where she really couldn't see anything, and you know, just couldn't hear anything, and so she was getting old. So she was pretty gentle by that time. And they got a new dog, and they got a Doberman Pinscher. Right, her name was Princess. They didn't live in a bad neighborhood, but you'd think they would. Right, like unsafe, but they had this Doberman Pinscher, and they had this German Shepherd. Right, just some great grandkid dogs. And so, yeah, this chain link fence around, and it had this sign on the gate that was a black sign that had orange letters, and you know what it says, right? What did it say? Beware of the dog. Right? Beware of the dog. Which is really interesting because if you got through the gate and you got to the door, it had a really nice mat that said, welcome, right? So you were lucky if you got there, you know. So you got this beware of the dog, you got this welcome mat. You know, Charles Spurgeon said it really well. He said, you know, what kind of person really are you? Do you carry yourself in such a way? Do you live your life in such a way? Is your home the kind of place that, does it shout beware the dog or does it shout welcome? Right? I mean, your personality, the way that you interact with people, do you come across more of a beware the dog type person or the welcome type person? Because the scripture has something to say about the kind of people that God has called us to be. The kind of people that he's creating us to be. And this whole idea of making space is to remind us that he wants us to be a hospitable people. That this is who he wants us to be as his followers. And matter of fact, he makes it really, really clear. I'm sure Ben probably mentioned this even last week, but I want us to see a couple of scripture verses that make it really clear of what Christ is calling us to be and what scriptures say that we need to be. So look with me in 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 8, and we're going to read through verse 11. And Peter writes this, and he says this. He says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins, right? Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So he says, keep loving one another earnestly because love covers a multitude of sins and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then he goes on to say this in Hebrews 13. The writer of Hebrews says this, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So these are just two passages of scripture. We could take you to plenty more. But these are two passages of scripture that say to the follower of Jesus Christ. Now, again, I recognize there are some people who are with us today who are not followers of Christ, who would say to us, I'm not a believer in Jesus Christ. And by the way, if that's you, welcome. Thank you that you're here. We're glad you're here. You are welcome here. And we hope and pray that God will stir your heart and maybe begin to show you who he really is and how much Jesus loves you and longs to have a relationship with you. We're glad you're here. But for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, who name the name of Christ and follow him, these passages make it real clear saying, listen, as a believer in Jesus Christ, here's what you are commanded to do. Show hospitality. Now listen, he's not saying if this is your gift, right? That's where it gets real interesting, right? Because sometimes people are like, look, I'm just not a hospitable person. That's not my gift. And I get it. Listen, there are some people who can cook and who can't. Okay, we get that, right? There are some people who make you feel at home and some people who make you want to go home, right? Like I get it. But just because it's not your gift doesn't mean you're not commanded to live this way, right? Scripture makes it really clear. And it doesn't even say if you're a new believer or if you're a mature believer. It doesn't say if you have a lot of money or you don't have a lot of money. It doesn't say if you have a nice home or you don't have a nice home. It says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Do not neglect to show hospitality, right? So it has this command that this is the kind of people we're supposed to be. So here's what biblical hospitality is. We're going to probably say this a couple of times through the series, but biblical hospitality is a means of making Jesus known among strangers and neighbors as we put his love on display. So just so we're clear on this, when we're talking about biblical hospitality, what it means to show hospitality to one another, when Scripture says this, demands this of all followers of Christ, this is the kind of person you need to be. Here's what it means. It means that we are making Jesus known among strangers and neighbors as we put his love on display. This doesn't mean preaching a sermon every time someone comes over to your house. It doesn't mean that you unpack theology on somebody like a dump truck, just kind of dumping it on them every time you have a conversation. No, what it does mean is that we are purposefully, intentionally putting God's love on display in our relationships, at home and everywhere we go. And not only just being passive about that, but being intentional about that. So it's this means of making Jesus known among strangers and neighbors. And here's what it says. To practice hospitality is to imitate Christ and to initiate and offer up one's life for the sake of others, right? Here's what it means to practice hospitality. Because the scripture is going to say this. It's not something that you have nailed down. It's not something that maybe comes naturally for you. That's why it says practice it, right? You got to practice hospitality. This is something that we have to grow in, something we have to learn in, something we have to mature in. That we all are in this together as believers. That we want to be known as a hospitable church. We want to be known as a hospitable people because God himself is hospitable and his people need to reflect him. Right? When you and I are hospitable to one another, when you and I are hospitable to people that we don't even know, we are reflecting God. And so to practice hospitality is to imitate Christ because he is the hospitable God, right? The Son of God who came and lived this earth and died a tragic, horrible, beautiful death on the cross. And God raised him from the dead. And because he defeated death, you and I can have life. And so when we practice hospitality, we imitate Christ as we initiate and offer up our lives for the sacrifice and for the sake of others. Because you know this. And if you don't, then let me tell you that hospitality, it involves intentionality and sacrifice. It involves intentionality and sacrifice. That's what Jesus did. He was intentional and he gave his life for others. And that's what he's calling us to do in the midst of hospitality. And you know what? As you look through the scriptures, if you go Old Testament, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, it speaks about being a hospitable people, right? So when the scriptures say in the New Testament, this is the kind of people you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be hospitable people. It didn't just start in the New Testament. This is a hallmark of God and his people all throughout scripture, okay? Listen to what it says in Leviticus. I know you've been reading from there lately. Listen to what it says. Leviticus 19, 34. Some of you, this may be the first time you've ever read from Leviticus, all right? Welcome to Leviticus. Here's what it says in verse 19, verse 34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. By the way, I am the Lord your God. And then he goes on in chapter 23, verse 22, to say this. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap all the way to the edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the resident alien. I am the Lord your God. I mean, so even from way back in the Old Testament days, he's saying, listen, you need to care for the stranger among you. Love him as you love yourself. And when you're reaping your harvest, you need to stay away from the very edges of your field and leave that for the poor and for the resident alien, the one who's kind of traveling, sojourning through this area, that they might come across your field, the edge of your field, and see the harvest there and be able to gather that for themselves, you leave that alone. You leave it alone intentionally. You leave it alone sacrificially. You leave it alone purposefully so that they can be blessed by what you have. For all you Bible scholars, right? You remember the story of Ruth? Remember that story? It's a beautiful story. Do you remember what she was doing in Boaz's field? Because he was living by Leviticus chapter 23, right? Boaz was living this truth out. He was showing hospitality and he was leaving the edge of his field. And by the way, that's how Ruth and Naomi got some of their food. Because she qualified for two categories. She was a widow and she was poor. And she benefited from the hospitality of Boaz. And by the way, just so we all know, we've all benefited from the hospitality of Boaz because Boaz and Ruth are in the lineage of Jesus. Thank you, Boaz, for your hospitality. That you and Ruth got together and in the lineage of Jesus. Hospitality is important. The Mosaic Law, it displayed particular compassion for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow, by commanding them to leave the harvest, to leave the corners of their fields for that purpose. But you know what? There's another story in the Old Testament that talks about being a hospitable person. It's actually about King David. And it's in 2 Samuel 9. I want you to write this down because you want to go back maybe and read this story even with your kids or grandkids or nieces and nephew or even rehearse it with a friend. But 2 Samuel chapter 9, this is about the kindness and hospitality of David, a promise he had made to his great friend Jonathan. And you know that this is what was interesting because in a time when kings would die, it was normal for a new king to take over and for him to completely wipe out the former king's family. Right? That's what a lot of ancient kings did. When they came to the throne, they would wipe out other family members from the previous king so that what? There was no threat to their reign. They didn't want the son or the grandson of the former king to be around because that posed a threat. And yet here you see David doing something completely different. Listen to what it says in 2 Samuel 9. It says, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for the sake of Jonathan? Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba, by the way, the kindness of God, like the hospitality of God to him, is there somebody I can show this to? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet, right? And so he's just saying, listen, yeah, there's a son of Jonathan, but he's crippled in his feet. So what he's saying is, hey, this guy's not a threat to your kingdom. He's crippled in his feet. We know that there was an accident when they were rushing out because of the kingdom transferring and all the things that were happening. There was a nurse that was carrying, Mephibosheth out, and she dropped him, and he became crippled in both of his feet. Verse 4, the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar. That's the wilderness. This guy was living in the wilderness, literally, spiritually. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir to the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and he paid homage. Right? This guy finds out that the king wants him to come before him. What do you think he's thinking? My life is over. My life is over. He was in the wilderness for a reason, fellowship. He was hiding. He didn't want to be around the king. That wasn't a place for him where he felt welcomed. So he comes before the king in verse 6, and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, fell on his face, paid homage, and David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear. By the way, you normally say that to people who look scared. Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage, and he said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? He could not believe it, completely blown away. This guy was lonely. He was isolated. He was living a hopeless existence. And the king of Israel invites him to his table. Verse 9, and the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, he said to him, all that belong to Saul, to all his house I have given to your master's grandson, and you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. That's a good work crew. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, and look at this, he always ate at the king's table. And he was lame in both feet. I mean, this is the kindness of God. This is what hospitality looks like. David finds this guy who's living in the wilderness, lonely, isolated, thinks his life is worth nothing, thinks his life is invisible. No one cares about him. No one knows him. No one really thinks about him. There are people in your circle, in your neighborhoods, at your workplaces who feel invisible, who feel like nobody recognizes them, that nobody wants to have anything to do with them. They are in their own Lodabar, if you will, their own wilderness, and they feel like no one sees them. And what God is saying about hospitality is that we are to be a hospitable people. And what hospitable people do in essence is we pull up a chair to the table and we invite them to the table and we invite them to the meal. And basically what biblical hospitality shouts to a watching world is this: I see you. You're welcome. You're welcome here. That's what Christ is inviting us into, what he's calling us into, what he's commanding us to do. It's beautiful. But it's not just Old Testament, New Testament too. I mean, if you've been around Fellowship for a little while, we just got through preaching through the book of Acts not too long ago. But in the book of Acts, look at what it looks like in the book of Acts, this biblically hospitable people, Acts 2, 42 through 47. Some of you are very familiar with this passage. It says this: and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So even in the New Testament, we see that they were opening up their homes and they were eating together and they were praying together and they were sharing life together and sharing possessions together. They were sharing to those who had need. And it was this picture of hospitality to a watching world. This is a hallmark of believers through the centuries of being a hospitable people and making a difference. Listen to what happened in the 4th century. This is the Roman Emperor Julian, and this is what it says about him. The Roman Emperor Julian, he regretted the progress of Christianity because it pulled people away from the Roman gods, right? This emperor was so mad because Christianity was pulling people away from Roman gods and that worship. Matter of fact, he actually referred to Christians as atheists, okay? He called people of the Christian faith atheists. And he says this: atheism, talking about Christianity, has been specifically advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. Do you hear this? This is a godless emperor who's referring to Christians as godless people. Isn't that interesting? Referring to Christians as godless people, and he's saying, listen, they're making us look bad because they love strangers. They care for the burial of the dead. It's a scandal. Listen to what he says. It's a scandal that there's not one Jew among us who is a beggar. And they care not only for their own poor. Listen to this. He says they don't just care for their poor. They care for our poor. Oh, man. Wouldn't that be great if Fellowship was known as that kind of people? That the government, that the city would say, this is the kind of church that Fellowship is. They care for the orphans among us. They care for the widows among us. They care for the poor among us. They're doing a better job at it than the government is. They're doing a better job at it than we're doing, because they are making it happen. They're caring for those people among us more than we even care for them. And by the way, I think Fellowship is doing something about that. We want to do more. We want to do more. We want to be a more hospitable people. But it happened back in those centuries long ago that they were living in such a way that it was making an impression upon their city. We've often said this. We've often asked this question, right? If Fellowship was missing from Central Arkansas, would Central Arkansas miss Fellowship? If we were missing from Central Arkansas, would Central Arkansas miss Fellowship? Would they miss the kind of hospitable people that we are? So what keeps us from being a hospitable people? What keeps us from being these kind of people? Well, I'm just going to give you 4 things this morning of what keeps us. And by the way, they come from a book called The Simplest Way to Change the World. We told you about this last week. A lot of D groups are going to be going through this book. We have it at our resource center. You can pick that up even today. You can also go online. But we want to encourage you to pick this copy up. Even if you're not in a D group, we would encourage you, one, to get in a D group, a discipleship group. That's what that is, a small group of people who gather, study God's word, and who get to know one another and spend some time together and do life together. But I want to encourage you to pick this copy up, to get a copy of it, because it's so good. And I'm looking forward to it because Dustin's actually going to be coming here in November to speak. And so that's going to be a great opportunity for us as a church family. But you want to pick this up. But he says this, what keeps us from being a hospitable people? And the first one is this, isolation. One of the reasons that keep you and me from being hospitable to others is isolation. Because our homes have become kind of our castles. Our homes have kind of become the place that we retreat to. It's an oasis for us. It's a refuge for us. And so we are quick to shut the garage, right? We're quick to go inside, and we're quick to kind of stay there because we've had a long day at work. The kids have had a long day at school. And so because of all the things that are going on, we just choose to kind of isolate ourselves. Some of us don't even know the names of our next door neighbors. I would not tell that to other people. I wouldn't brag about that. Wouldn't wear that as a badge of honor if you say, I don't really know the people who kind of live in my neighborhood or just right around me. If you don't know their names and maybe at least something about them. But we isolate, and it keeps us from being a hospitable people. And rather than using our home as a tool to display the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we use it as a refuge from the world, which, by the way, can be okay sometimes. The scripture is not teaching, we're not teaching that your home can't be a refuge. It can't be a place where you enjoy some retreat. I'm not saying that. But if all you ever do is that, and you've become isolated, it's keeping you from being hospitable. Second thing is this, relaxation, right? That's your place to not only just isolate, but to relax, to just kind of let your hair down a little bit, to be able to just kind of be yourself and to enjoy some of the comforts of life and to be able to relax, to be able to unwind. And like I said, that in of itself is not a bad thing. You need to be able to go home. You need to be able to relax in your house. You need to be able to be comfortable. You need to be able to put your sweatpants on, man. I love that, right? You need to be able to just kind of to be who you are there and just relax and kind of veg out a little bit. But again, if that becomes your ultimate goal for your house, is that it's a place of isolation and a place of relaxation, if that becomes the ultimate, if that becomes everything that you want it to be, then you are not going to be the kind of people that God's called us to be. Third thing is entertainment, right? Entertainment. That's what keeps us from being hospitable people. And we go home, we want our Netflix, we want our Instagram, we want our Twitter, we want our Facebook, we want our Amazon Prime, we want whatever, you know, TV service you have. Like, we want to watch our shows. Matter of fact, some of us, you know, we binge on our shows, right? Like, you got the Netflix or you go to the library and get some, whatever. I mean, we still do that at our house. We go to the library. That's how we do it. And you get all these shows you watch. And if you've ever done this, and the only reason I know this is because I have, Julie and I get a show and we'll watch it, and we're like, one more episode. And we'll watch it, one more episode. We did this with Friday Night Lights a while back, man. We just kept watching. And Julie one day, she's like, oh, I just like Coach and Tammy. And I'm like, they're not real. And you feel this, right? You feel this. And then when it's over, you're kind of like, what do we do now? Like, it's like we don't even know what to do with ourselves. It's like, let's just retreat into a corner. We can't even survive. You know it. And entertainment itself is not bad. But when we become so consumed with it, you know, one pastor says that one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and social media, one of the great uses of those things, it will prove on the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Netflix, all those things will prove on the last day that hospitality, prayerlessness, those kind of things, it wasn't from lack of time. So entertainment can keep us. Busyness is the fourth one that Dustin says. Busyness can keep us from being hospitable people. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because you're already struggling for margin in your life. You're already a busy person. You've got all kinds of things going on. I had this conversation when I was on Benton's campus last week. We talked about people who are busy. I run into teenagers who are like, man, I just got so much to do. I'm like, what do you have to do? Like, I don't even know what you have to do. But you know what? They do. I run into people who are retired. They're like, I'm so busy. I'm like, how? How are you busy? But you know what? They are. They got all kinds of stuff going on. Some of them got their kids going, can you keep our kids? I mean, like, you know that you're doing all these things, right? I know in my own life, I feel busy. I was trying to clean out my garage. I have 10 bikes. I'm like, where do we even get 10 bikes? We don't have 10 kids. How do we even have 10 bikes? It's just all this busyness that just kind of creeps up in our life. It keeps us from being hospitable. Listen. If you're honest with yourself and you take a look in the mirror, you can see these traits in you: isolation, relaxation, entertainment, busyness. You can look at those in your life and you can kind of go, yes, 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 yes. And you can see how it's keeping you from being hospitable. And it's not okay. In some ways, we want to say, yes, let's grow in this together. We want to show love. We want to be patient and all that kind of stuff. But you don't need to stay in that condition. You don't need to kind of go, it's just the way it is. Yeah, it is the way it is. But the way it is needs to change. Because the command in Scripture says you need to be hospitable. And if these things are keeping you from being hospitable, then it's keeping you from doing what God has commanded, and that is sin. But nobody wants to talk about that. So how can we grow to be more hospitable people? How can we do this? Well, the first thing is this. We need to remind ourselves of God's hospitality to us in Jesus. Okay? That's how we remind ourselves. That's how we become a more hospitable people. That's what last week was all about. Remind ourselves of God's hospitality to us in Jesus. Listen, God has been hospitable to us. And the reason we need to be a hospitable people is because this is who he's been to us. The cross shouts the hospitality of God. The cross shouts the hospitality of God. That he was hospitable to us in Jesus. And we need to remind ourselves of that every single day. That as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to say to ourselves, man, I don't know if we have time to do this. I don't know if we can make this happen. I don't know. It's just so messy and it's so hard. And I don't like them. And it's hard to get along with them. And they're so difficult. And all these things that are happening. It's just so hard to do. How can we do this? Oh, the cross was difficult, messy, hard. And yet Jesus did that for us. Oh, that's how we do this. That's how we do this. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us. I don't have time to read it, so I just want our slides people to know, I don't have time to read it, but Ephesians 2, just write that down. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, because basically that passage in Ephesians, Paul says, he says, listen, here's what God has done for us. He's taken those who are far off and he's brought them near. That's what the cross did. It took those who were far off, and by the way, that was Jew and Gentile, even though they thought they were close, right? It's taken those who are far off and away from Christ. It's brought them near. That's what the cross does. That's God's hospitality to us. So that's how we grow. We remind ourselves of God's hospitality. Second thing is this. We practice hospitality in attitude and action. Okay, it's both. In our attitude and in our action, we practice hospitality. It's something that you have to learn to do. And if you're going to say, I just don't know how to do it. Well, you know what? You just got to practice it. You got to have somebody over. You got to take somebody out for coffee. You got to trudge through the awkwardness of what you're going to say. Some of us are making it way too difficult. And we've built it up in our mind until it's this great thing that we can't even overcome. But what we're trying to do is just kind of take a little needle and kind of pop the bubble a bit. Just kind of go, look, this is not difficult, really. I mean, it can be, and it can get messy, but the actual practicing of it, you can do it. Matter of fact, there's a couple in our church, Rob and Teresa Hernandez, and Rob is one of our elders here at Fellowship, and I love them, and I have sat in their home. I've sat around their table with some other couples, and I've experienced their leadership in practicing hospitality. They're unbelievable at it, and yet they'd be the first people to tell you, you know what? We've had to learn this. We've had to grow in this. Matter of fact, I want you to hear their story yourself, okay? This is Rob and Teresa Hernandez. Watch this story with me.
It was really hard for me to get over the fact that I didn't have like the perfect home, or I might not have had matching dishes or cloth napkins, or I didn't really know how to cook that well. And so I just thought it was too much, it was too hard. And then we realized that hospitality really isn't about any of that. I think the deeper reason that we feel like we have to impress is that we're afraid of being really known and being vulnerable. By having people into your home, they're seeing you. They're seeing how you live, how you interact with each other, how you treat your kids, how you live your life. And I think that was a barrier for a long time, is just being afraid of being known, being vulnerable with people.
We go back years, and why did we want to have community and intimacy at our table? I think it's what we really wanted was just to experience more of God, experience His presence. He lives in the hearts of all of us. We always think about, what if we could create a table that's filled with laughter, supply good food, create an environment where people can be known and can be heard, listened to. Everybody wants to be known and to be loved. Can we do that one night? Mm-hmm. Put yourself aside and invest in the people, your guests. And it's addicting.
I think being in a home environment just feels safe. It feels protected, it feels warm, and people, they're not inhibited to share, and they're not afraid, well, if they touch that pain deep inside of them, there might be tears. You're kind of going to dance around that usually. If you're out in public, you're going to kind of stay far away from that pain because you don't want to make a spectacle of yourself. It's a more comfortable environment for that.
Discipleship happens through intimacy. And so to be able to use our home, to use coffee, to use food, drinks, that's where discipleship happens, the deeper conversations. The scriptures say to practice hospitality. It doesn't say to be perfect at it or to be good at it, to be the best at it. So we continue to practice it. I think we continually look for ways to improve hospitality and how to get better at it. We've literally found burnt rolls in the oven that we forgot to serve. And we throw them in the garbage in laughter because who cares? What happened at the table is what we're still talking about, what we're still savoring. Do you remember what he said about his journey with God? Things like that. And I think that's the difference between practice and entertainment versus hospitality. Hospitality doesn't care about the roles. The connection between hospitality and the gospel is Jesus could have loved us just as much from a distance, but he chose to come and be with us because he desired intimacy with us. I know he did. And I know that what he continues to want from us. And I think when we practice good hospitality, it involves intimacy. And when intimacy happens, people are known, the gospel's lived out. I want to see more of God, feel more of his presence through his people. It can happen at the table.
What a great story. It can happen at the table, you know, and hospitality doesn't care about the roles. I like what he said about that. Although I got to admit, their dinner looked pretty good, looked pretty healthy. You come to our house, it may be pizza out of a box, you know, but it doesn't matter. It's about what happens even around the table or even at the coffee shop when you're out there sharing that moment with somebody. It just takes practice. And you need to be thinking about in your life right now, who in your circle could you invite over for dinner sometime? Who in your circle could you maybe meet even out for dinner if you feel like that's something you need to do? Who could you connect with to begin the conversation, just to get to know someone, to be able to put God's love on display? And by the way, the last two things we wrap this up. The scripture says this, we need to practice hospitality in our attitude and action. One is without grumbling, okay? And God told us that because he knew we would do what? Yeah, he knows you. He knows me. He knows that you're going to go, I can't do it. We can't do this. We can't do this. He says, you know what? Hey, by the way, show hospitality without grumbling. Quit grumbling about it. Quit saying you don't have enough, you do this, can't do this, we don't have enough time, don't have all these things. He says, look, don't grumble about it. Nobody wants to come to someone's house when they go, well, glad you're here. It's my wife's idea. I mean, like, that's not welcoming. You're looking at your watch every 2 minutes. Glad you guys are here. I mean, he says, practice hospitality without grumbling. No one likes to be around someone who feels like they're forced to be nice. And the reason he said practice it without grumbling is because he knew that you and I would grumble. He says this, don't neglect to show hospitality. Don't neglect. Don't disregard it. Don't give any attention to it. Don't be careless about it. Don't abandon it. Don't ignore it. When it says don't neglect, what it means that you and I have left something alone. We've walked away from it. We've chosen to ignore it. And some of you are saying, you know what? We haven't really practiced this in our house. And you know why? Because there's a tendency to neglect it. That's why God's word says don't neglect this. Don't neglect this. This is the kind of people we're called to be. Do not neglect to show hospitality to one another. This is for believers and for unbelievers. Back in those days, it certainly was different than the day we have hotels and people staying at. And, you know, because back in those times, people would travel and then you might get a knock on the door where someone says, man, do you have a place we can stay for the night? And that's what the scriptures were telling those early believers to say, yes, you say, yes, we do have a place where you can stay. Those strangers, can you imagine? It's risky. It's messy. We're not telling people to be unsafe, but we're also saying that there is sometimes some risk involved. It is messy. But the scripture says, do not neglect this. Fellowship, for those of you who are believers in Christ, do not neglect this. Don't ignore it. Don't abandon it. Don't say, I don't know how to do this. Well, you can say you don't know how to do this, but it doesn't mean you can't just say, I'm not going to do it. Hospitable people initiate and sacrifice. Hospitable people initiate and sacrifice. What kind of person are you? Because the scriptures call us to be a hospitable people, fellowship. This is who God has called us to be. And by the way, the next couple of weeks, well, next week's Vision Sunday, but the 2 weeks after that, we're going to give you more and more practical ways that you can live this out, I promise. We're going to give you some more practical ways about how you can practice hospitality, I promise. You don't want to miss it. But what I love about today for all of our venues is, we get to celebrate communion together. And what's powerful about communion is when we take communion together, and it's a sobering moment and it's a celebratory moment, because when believers take communion together, this is a visible demonstration of the hospitality of God. When you take the bread and when you drink the cup, you are visibly interacting with the hospitality of God. Because hospitality involves intentionality and sacrifice. And when you take the bread and you drink the cup, that is intentionality and it is sacrifice. And so this morning, we get an opportunity to do that. And I'm excited to see how the Lord will remind us of the hospitality of God as we share in that together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you for your hospitality to us. God, forgive us as believers. Forgive us as believers when we have not been hospitable to other people. Forgive us when we've been more the beware the dog person than welcome to my house. And would you change us and help us remember the hospitality, God, that you showed us in Christ? Would you remind our unbelieving friends today that the gospel is good for them too, just like it is for us as believers? The gospel is good for them because, God, you have shown hospitality to them by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for their sins, for our sins. And so this morning, as we take these elements, as we worship together, remind us, God, of your hospitality. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.